Hi there. Thanks for your email. The video you posted was in violation of YouTube's community guidelines, as reported by users and verified by YouTube team. Accordingly, the ability to post new content to YouTube from this account has been disabled. Sometimes it takes a while. They haven't done it yet. We got this last night. And will not return until 2 weeks after you acknowledge the message within your account. Well, even to get into the account, you have to acknowledge it. So we've acknowledged it last night about 7. I was up here. Please review the YouTube community guidelines and refrain from further violations, which may result in the termination of your accounts. Accounts. Additional non-video penalties may be recorded in your account. And it goes on. Now, here was our original response a few weeks ago to this. And we explained that there's no vulgarity, nothing, that many other YouTube sites have posted this, including the official CBS News Channel, the official Al Jazeera, the official RT, the official CNN, the official, you name it, ABC. I mean, there are literally hundreds of official channels that show the whole video. We showed in our collateral murder video maybe 30 seconds, and it's black and white footage of a minivan, and you can't even see the people in it being shot. I mean, this is nothing compared to what they put on the news every night. And so we point out to them, hey, here are all these official news services that are partners with you. Official partners. They're allowed to have hour-long videos, not just 15-minute ones. And here they are, and they've got the same video of the Apache helicopter shooting the Reuters reporter and shooting the minivan with the kids in it. We did a report on that and talked about it. And you're saying it's vulgar, and then we point out that it's on all these other channels and that they're not removing it from any of them, and their answer is, okay, we're shutting your account down. You can't use it. You can't get information out. And if this happens more, you're just gone. Now, people point out, well, they've removed your Obama deception. They've removed a lot of your other stuff before. And that's what they're hoping. They want to wear you out. Just like they come out with RFID and the internal industry standards that got leaked a few years ago said 80%+ of people don't like this, but we don't care. Our internal research shows people just give up. If we just push this through, they'll go ahead and submit. Same thing on the TSA with sticking their hands down your pants. Same thing with censorship on the web. Remember the article just last week out of Wired? Censorship bill sails through committee. They're trying to pass it this week or next week where the government can just shut down any websites they want. No judge, no jury. Just any designate of the Justice Department can shut down any website they want. If somebody posts a link on a message board they don't like, they're ignoring the DMCA takedown third-party safe harbor, meaning if you've got a public site like YouTube or Google or a message board and somebody posts something copyright or whatever, they have to contact the site and let them know and they've got a chance to take it down. The government says, no, we'll shut down whoever we want. This is all happening now. This is all going on now. This is a major issue now. And we're already banned from government Wi-Fi systems on the train stations in Europe. And in England, I mean, it's happening, folks.
And of course, when the big things are really happening, they're not about to tell you what's really going on with the movers and shakers as they turn the world upside down and you with it and bring in a new society. That's not their job. Their job is to keep you in a kind of la-la land between sex. That's why you see so many things. It's all boob babes in every page now. And I guess it's celebrities they use. They call them celebrities. There's not much up top in the old server room, believe you me, in those characters. But that's what they give you to follow, and most folk unfortunately do. So that's common about humanity, you know, in the culture industry. They know exactly how people think. The mass man, the mass woman, the mass child, male or female, they've got for every age group and gender, and every part of the gender age group, they've got a particular program aimed right at you.
Good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the second day of December 2010. You're listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Special thanks to Ms. Natasha Von Castle for spending 4 hours of sweet, sweet Soul Revitalizing Muzak for you. Hopefully you did enjoy that. She sounds better and better every time I catch her on air as I come through. And so hopefully you folks are enjoying that. Just a quick thing to break down here. Started off the show with Alex Jones, the InfoWars Prison Planet team being censored. They had a YouTube video which had some info that was released by WikiLeaks. And so YouTube nailed them for that. When at the same time, there were many, many other people and many, many other news organizations posting that info. And so he talks about the selective enforcement that goes on in corrupt systems where, you know, person X is doing, you know, who knows, and person Y is doing the same. But person Y, for some reason, we better ask why, is targeted for that. So here on today's show, I'd like to break down a few things. It is a Ford Watch Day. Just talked about the censorship of the Internet. That's been talked about for years, but it's happening more and more. Department of Homeland Security just shut down 76 websites the other day. And a lot of it for file sharing. Again.
4, 3, 2, 1, 1, we fighting. 4, 3, 2, 1, I don't know what. 4, 3, 2, 1.
So Ms. Von Castle's also heard about this, and she just popped in and said, yeah, what's up with that? Well, all right, in a specific sense, they have an idea of what's going to happen when they introduce certain ideas to our culture. And so, you know, when they introduced, you know, when they allowed people to first share music online and have mixtapes and file sharing networks, you know, there were arguments made by the people that wanted to do this that were legitimate, like the peer-to-peer stuff where they say, look, we're not actually hosting any files. We're just pointing, you know, people to, you know, other computers where the files are shared, for torrents, for example. And then you've got other music sites that say, yeah, we're doing this. We're doing a service for the artists. We're doing a service for the industry. We're providing promotion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they knew that you know, we would take to it like a fish to water. But they also knew that they could crack down on them whenever they wanted to. It's the same thing with pornography websites. It's the same thing with everything that's sort of semi-legal. You know, it's called problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, they give us our reactions, and then they provide the solution. And so, you know, with respect to the music sites and Homeland Security, this is the type of thing that they're just going to go after all the freedoms they gave us now in the name of security. In the name of copyright, we've heard things like the music industry's been suffering because of the online downloading for years now, and yet I don't see, you know, massive layoffs, massive cutbacks. You don't see them in the papers announcing that all the time. There's certainly some restructuring going on, you know, with the weaker economy, but, you know, you don't see label after label necessarily going out of business. Digital sales on iTunes are doing really well. And more people get to hear about more artists in a world of consolidating media, queued up online, file sharing, downloading, independent media, independent radio stations, and just the opportunity for people to choose music based on what they like as opposed to simply what they're heavily sold or offered. So it's a mixed bag. It is a mixed bag. Am I saying the record companies and the artists aren't hurt by downloading at all? No. But am I saying they're certainly helped by the online culture? Absolutely. So that metric, you know, are they hurt more than they're helped? Is it different artists, different genres? That will be played with respect to this explanation. If they want to leave them alone, they'll say, you know what, it's actually good promotion. If they want to crack down, they'll say, you're costing me money. And that's partly how that works with respect to the cracking down. But that is the point. That is the point. The point is to crack down. And so here on the second day of December, as your host BK here on CKLN's Rude Awakening, Mondays and Thursdays, you're going to catch me explaining some of these things so that we don't get caught in these memes that happen over and over and over again. I'm looking at the cover of the Metro here, Michelle, Grammy winners raps rain. Grammy winners raps rain on new disc scene. Lovely Michelle on the cover here. Craving some Nicaraguan fare. Try Toronto's own La Bella Managua. And a picture of Mayor-elect. And as of yesterday, Mayor Rob Ford speaking to the media at his first official press conference on the job. He gets sworn in on Tuesday. But his first official day was yesterday. I saw his first official press conference. He seemed a little nervous. His voice a little higher pitched than normal. Had a meeting very early that morning to kill Transit City. And I'd like to break down that decision just for a second here. UN Agenda 21, the United Nations Agenda 21 for Sustainable Development, at Rio conferences with the Kyoto Protocols, the recent conference in Cancun, Mexico. There's bigger plans being made at the international level for the global governance management of the world's resources. And part of that is herding populations into compact cities, getting rid of cars, encouraging bikes, restricting our freedom of mobility, and basically confiscating the land around these large, dense, compact cities that, you know, we have no reason to have, especially here in Canada, with a small population and a large amount of land. And so what you can say is, from a generic philosophical conservative principle, Mr. Ford has actually done us a service by rejecting Transit City, by pushing for subways instead. And so many people hate driving in Toronto. Everyone says, I hate driving in Toronto, I hate driving in Toronto. And so just because we hate driving in Toronto so much, you know, it does make more sense to try and build subways instead of more traffic flowing light rail everywhere, you know, if that would be the design. And so based on Miller being the green mayor, going to things like the World Mayors Conferences, working with groups like ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives at ICLEI.org, and pushing a bunch of green agendas here in the city, it's good to see something like that rejected. However, the cover of the Metro also says the first cut goes deep. Ford calls off Transit City Light Rail Project. TDC head says staff on Transit City will now start working out estimates for new subway. The problem with this idea of the first cut is us getting used to the idea of cuts, 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 debts, 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 deficits, 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 and budgets, 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 because we can't get used to that. If we get used to that, then the people who control our societies will impoverish us this way, will attack the poor who need social services, and will get us all to endorse it when we don't realize the whole monetary system is based on fraud. And governments spend way more than they take in taxes. They just borrow whenever they need to spend on wars or anything else. And so, you know, we can't get used to this idea. So, Ralph Ford may be an honest guy. He got his start in radio for a few years as a guest on the John Oakley Show on AM 640. And he reflected a lot of voter discontent with the system. But I'm going to take you to a clip of Mr. Alan Watt on flexi-sexual. This is basically how they're selling us discontent with each other and introducing sexual inhibitions, which are perfectly normal, as being ridiculous to promote us to become sexual predators and socialist editors here in Communist Canada, which we try and combat here on Rude Awakening.
Hi folks, we're back and we're cutting through the matrix. You know, there's always a war going on because there's so many parts of this agenda that have to be worked out at the right time to basically merge with other parts that are working too. That's how the big machine works. And of course all the big think tanks and the working groups work it into being. They're in control of all of this. Your culture has been taken down to the pits, of course. And I've lived through a good part of it. I've seen it happening. I've gone and investigated at the time what was going on because I knew big things were happening, not by themselves, because nothing starts in the grassroots by itself. Doesn't happen. You see, doesn't happen. Everything's authorized from the top down, including the LSD that phase went through in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And, of course, a massive promiscuity promoted from the top down again. Massive industry to deal with it, make sure we all got the message and copied like monkeys, because we do, we imitate like monkeys what we see. Plato talked about the same thing too, that the people, the public must attend, and that was a law at one point in the Greek islands in Attica. They had to go and attend these plays that were put on by the states because the public would emulate what they saw. And even the fashions they would try and get a hold of too, just like today. And so it works very well. He also said that music was a very, very important part of it, because music could sway the emotions of people, and people who played music, musicians, should be licensed because of the power they held over young people. And you could use that power to help create the kind of society or culture you wanted. Or you could use it for rebellion too. So that was all known in thousands of years ago. But as I say, the media is not there to inform you, otherwise none of us would be as dumb as we are. We're kept in the, like mushrooms, kept in the dark and fed you know what. And that's what the media is there to do, to make sure we get the message on some things. They never give you the full story on anything, and their job is to make you think you're just living through what you should call happenings. Things just happen out of the blue. And that's how they present it to you in the culture industry. Now, you can always tell promos for something because they're written in a sort of light-hearted manner as though it was okay. Here's a typical example here. Now, remember, too, that Charles Galton Darwin talks about how they'd have to aim things at women, aim things at men, and so on, to bring out this new society where basically no one would breed. You get the message. They didn't want people breeding down below at all. And promoting promiscuity would be part of it, because out of promiscuity would come the side effects such as unwanted children and so on. So that abortion would then go on the table. That all was worked out back in the 50s and before he even brought that up. It was all worked out then. All worked out in advance, like a chessboard that you haven't even put your foot on, the big chessboard that you walk on and you don't even know what you're on it. Dawn of the flexisexual. Here you are. You see, this is a light-hearted one. Dawn of the flexisexual. Oh, how we're going to have fun here. The new word for the woman who refused to play it straight, right? And it's from the Mail Online. It's been awfully good introducing an awful lot of this stuff. And then they go into the usual stuff about celebrities, so we get them to say, oh yeah, I remember that one, First there was that infamous onstage kiss between Madonna and Britney Spears. And Madonna's the one who used to grab her crotch and stuff as well. And then it says, then Katy Perry sang that she's kissed a girl and she likes it. Now a new word has been coined for the growing number of straight women who flirt with bisexuality. It's called flexisexual. It refers to people who have a sexual preference but refuse to be bound by it. See, they're avant-garde, they're cutting edge, you see, they're rebelling, you see. That's the old stuff that they used too with Bernays, teaching them to rebel. And putting themselves in a bind by doing so is very clever. And it seems heterosexual women in their 30s and 40s are leading the trend. There you go. See, they've watched more much music and music television and so on than anybody else, and read more celebrity stuff than anybody else. And then they bring in the psychologist, you know, the expert, to make it seem okay. Psychologist Dr. Cecilia de Felice said, women are often more open to these experiences when they reach their 40s. That's absolute rubbish, you know, because I knew lots of women in their 40s, much older than me when I was a wee boy, and the stuff did not go on. It just didn't go on. The last thing in their mind. Anyway, liars are awful handy when you're trying to get an agenda across. And so I'll carry on with the liar here. And says, and more confident with their sexuality. If an opportunity presents itself, they may think, why not? Particularly if they have come out of a long relationship. Hollywood actresses Angelina Jolie and Drew Barrymore, both 35, have been open about being attracted to women and having flings with them. What's it called? A fling, a flexosexual fling. It must be contortion of some kind with flexors. Oh, who cares? Jolie, who is now with Brad Pitt, has been admitted to having a sexual relationship with actress Jenny Shimizu, whoever that is. Twice married, Barrymore has been quoted as saying, being with a woman is like exploring your own body, but through someone else. I wonder what person beamed that one up for her, some scriptwriter. They're awfully good at that. They get little things like that, people that embed in people's minds, you see. Actress Lindsay Lohan, 24, is among younger flexosexuals. He sees it as a trend when she dated DJ Samantha Robinson. I don't know who these people are, and I don't care, you know, either. She denied being a lesbian and said she was maybe bisexual. She has since returned to seeing men, including some rugby star anyway. So anyway, this is how they're pushing it from the celebrities, because the little people down below tend to emulate it. And of course, it's been pushed in school with your guidance counsellors. Well, you haven't tried it. Oh, Johnny, there's maybe something wrong with you. You might be inhibited in some way. They actually get told this at school. Of course, it's not an agenda. I'd be paranoid to think it was an agenda, wouldn't I? Oh, It just happens out of the blue.
If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear, and its presence has never been more imminent. It requires a change in outlook, a change in tactics, a change in missions by the government, by the people, by every businessman or labor leader, and by every newspaper. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. It conducts the Cold War in short, with a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope or wish to match.
Back here, CKLN listeners. That was Alan Watt talking a bit about the careful planning that goes into managing our culture and introducing certain memes. And I saw an article from the Victoria Times columnist yesterday on an analysis of reality TV shows, in particular the Tyra Banks show, where she seems to be so much about highlighting diversity and putting on different women, you know, women of color, women of different sexualities, and women who look differently, and all sorts of things like, you know, just celebrating that diversity. But then, basically, you know, through an analysis, a critique of the show, abusing them for being different, and chastising them for being different, and, you know, part of America's top model, part of that whole empire. All this freedom that's being sold is actually meant to isolate and ultimately disempower us, and hence the flexi sexualness. And women out there, you can see all the things, you know, good for your budget and your booty or whatever. Also, the word booty has been introduced to mainstream culture after first being introduced through urban culture and hip hop, and it is such an obsession out there. Sex and sexuality. I gotta tell you something. If you're a woman, a female, historically. And, you know, you were specifically taught, you know, 157 ways to please a guy. Every month. By Cosmo. Or some other source. Then you were basically trained to be a geisha girl or a prostitute. Because that's the whole idea. That's what's behind that. And it puts ridiculous expectations on guys and ridiculous expectations on women, like if you're not doing this and you're not having fun, when in fact the definition of what is fun is something that you have to study and understand here. And when you see people still complaining about the results of these actions, then you can see, you know, it's not a black or white issue. It's just the bigger agenda is to confuse us. So. As I flip to the inside cover of the Metro with an H&M ad. An H&M I'm very, very suspicious of. They came out of nowhere to dominate the local fashion scene with a low budget, I guess high quality, certainly stylish stuff. But it has a lovely sort of dyed blonde pale girl on the left being kissed by a lovely brunette on the right. On the cheek here. With her hair blowing wildly, and the first girl looking at me, looking at us. So it's almost like they're showing off in this little display. Like, not only did she kiss me, she didn't kiss me for me, she kissed me so you would see it, and I could get to go, hee-hee, you know, aren't I crazy? And this is kind of that being sold out there. Look at the story of Montana Fishburne, Lawrence Fishburne's daughter, who filmed a porno movie because she wanted to get famous like Kim Kardashian. Who filmed a porno movie or had a home sex tape release, and that was the launch of her current crest on the wave of fame. So, got to understand, why this is taking place and how this all relates, because it's key to understanding why we have difficulty fighting back. If we can indict this culture and lose a bit of our addiction to it, then we can think a bit more clearly and stop pressuring each other to conform to it. And then make better decisions. But I'm taking it to Stéphane Molyneux, Canadian philosopher from Frito Main Radio on the Alex Jones Show, breaking down a bit about how us different countries are basically farms and we are managed.
DSA, one of them from the who got to move, an IT guy news. With news. Mortimer's
really sort of play with this idea, which then bore fruit in this video, that we really should be viewed as human livestock, and it is the most advanced form of human livestock to live in a democracy, because in the ancient world, slaves were directly owned. Like, you owned people, and they weren't very productive because they were so depressed and alienated all the time. And then you went through the Roman model, which was slightly more removed, where you owned people, but you taxed them a little bit. And then you went through the feudal model, where you didn't own people directly, but they had to pay you off in order to work the land. But there was this amazing development in the 19th century, 18th and the 19th century, where the ruling classes realized that if they allowed us to choose our own job, then we would be as productive as could be imagined. This was really the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And so in the same way that a farmer will plant his crops further apart in order to have them be more productive, and he won't crowd his animals too much together, we've been granted a certain amount of economic and political liberties, not because our rulers have those values in the abstract or as a principle, but because it gives us the illusion that we're free, which makes us more energetic in the pursuit of our careers and the generation of wealth. But the problem is that the more economic freedom you get, the greater the productivity of the working classes, the greater the growth of the political parasite class. It's sort of like putting a direct bloodline into a tumor. It just makes the tumor grow and grow. And so what's happening is the smaller the government that you start with, the larger the government that you end with. And I think that's the case with the American experiment, which is a noble but tragic experiment, where they said, let's start with the smallest possible government that we could get. And I think they did a great job of creating a small government, delineating it with the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. But what has happened since is the amount of economic freedom and productivity that was generated by that liberty has created a massive tax base that has swelled the political and parasite classes to the point where what started off as the smallest government in the world has now turned into the very largest government in history and the very largest government that anybody could conceive of. And that, I think, is the central tragedy of what has occurred. People who fight for freedom don't know that they're laying down the groundwork or sowing the seeds for future tyranny. And until I think we understand the degree to which we have an allegiance not to a political leader or even to an ideology, but to a tax bomber, once we understand that, we can begin to really work towards a free society. But I think until we see that, we're just kind of playing games in our cages.
Now, you're welcome to continue breaking down your view of this paradigm. I've got quite a few questions and avenues of discussion looking at what you're talking about from different angles, but please continue before I get to my questions.
Well, let's take it up to the press, right, because I do sort of true news segment, but I try to break down the news. If you look at what's going on right now, there's a budget deficit information mission that's going on, and the results of it were all perfectly predictable. The dependent classes, all right, how is it that they turn up against each other, right? Direct human ownership is very unprofitable, because the moment you start pushing guns in people's faces, they go limp, like intellectually, and they're not creative, they won't want to be entrepreneurs and so on. And so what you have to do to rule human beings is you have to set them against each other. And the best way to set human beings against each other, if you're a human farmer, is to not own them directly, but to take from the productive classes and create a dependent class. And the dependent class is rich and poor. It's the military-industrial complex. It's school teachers who are dependent upon the government for their summers off and their job security and their pensions. It's welfare, people on welfare and so on. They're all dependent upon the state. And so the moment that people like you and I begin to say, we're not free, the entire paradigm is not free, we do not have the liberties we think we do, we're only granted certain liberties so we're more productive for others. The moment we begin to talk about a peaceful, non-violent, non-coercive solution to social problems, rather than herding people around and pointing guns at them and selling off the unborn to anyone that they can find in order to fund the bribery of the voters in the present, the moment we start talking about that, the dependent classes start to attack us, right? And you can see this very clearly. Happens to Ron Paul, it happens to just about anybody who raises their voice in a cry of freedom in this land, that we get attacked by the people who are dependent upon the state. And the real tragedy, I believe, is that the only people who really care about the poor, the only people who really care about education, are people who are striking at the root of the violence of the state system. Because as we can see right now, the Budget Deficit Commission is completely predictable. What happens is the ruling classes take care of their own, and they only create a dependent class to maintain their hold over everyone and to make sure that the group of people who are going to attack anyone who talks about freedom. So when they're talking about deficit reduction, deficit cutting, do they talk about repudiating the debt to foreign governments and international bankers? Of course not, because that's the class they're designed to protect. What happens is the dependent classes are shown to be completely expendable. So they're going to cut welfare, they're going to cut Medicare, they're going to cut Medicaid, they're going to cut Social Security to the point where people are going to go through extreme and extraordinary
hunger. And then they're going to use those people that have been displaced as a political weapon, saying, if you want to get the welfare checks and the Walmart goodies back again, you've got to politically go for even a bigger government to rob what's left of the middle class, which the ruling elite, from my view, has decided to basically clamp down on.
No, that's right. And what happens is the fruits of violence are always disastrous. But what happens, of course, is that freedom gets blamed for it, right? So for some reason, people think that the recent Great Recession and the housing bubble, the tech bubble, the savings and loans of the 80s, that all of that resulted from some sort of free market enterprise, as if the government didn't run the entire currency, as if the government didn't have, you know, millions of regulations and massive amounts of taxation and herding people around at gunpoint all over the place, throwing billions of people in jail. That is not a free society. And so all of the disasters that accrue to violence, the government has a handy scapegoat in the name of freedom. And that, of course, is the real tragedy. People are somehow blaming voluntary, peaceful human interactions for all of these massive disasters, as if you and I could run up a $13 trillion debt on our own. I mean, it's just astounding. But the dependent classes are going to get really badly treated in this next round, and it is going to be used as an excuse to attempt to extend power and control, because the disease is masquerading as its own cure.
Well, I agree with you. Stefan Molyneux is our guest. We're going to come back from break, and I'm going to go through some notes that I've written about the basic thesis that he just put out that I completely agree with, because the globalists themselves have basically described it in very similar terms. And, of course, Stefan's talking about how he just noticed this himself. And I've had that happen to me so many times. I will notice something and think about it and then later read globalist publications where they are saying exactly what I thought, but then from their farming perspective. So it's just incredible how obvious all of this is. And it's hidden in plain view. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
With all the sex distressing, the question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, When will I finally get to rest through this suppression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess. Sip from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep your essence. The power is in the people and politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming the riches, in the position of making a difference. Politicians are hypocrites, they don't want to listen. If I'm insane, it's the fame made a brother change. It wasn't nothing like the game, it's just me against the world.
So every one of these institutions that control the direction of the world and our daily lives is a pyramid. The banking system is a pyramid. You go into the local bank, the person you meet across the counter won't even know what's going on in the bank manager's office behind them, let alone what's going on at board level and higher. So the banking system is a pyramid going to a peak. The intelligence agency network in the world is a pyramid going to a peak. The multinational company network is a pyramid. So is the global media and so on. And there is a global pyramid within which all these work, in which the peaks of all these individual pyramids, banking, business, media, etc., fuse into one peak. And up there, it's speculated by many people, there perhaps may be no more than 13 families, 13 people at the peak, pervading down through these different levels the same basic policy, which is pushing the world towards more and more centralization of power.
Are you eugenical? Kick me in the sack, take a sack of my stuff. I'm calling you bluff, won't kill me? All right, that's enough.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. A couple of clips there that you heard. Definitely, Stephane Molyneux, Frito Main Radio from yesterday's Alex Jones show, breaking down what's happening right now. But yeah, every time they want us rich, they give us more freedom. So when you see your freedoms being taken away and compromised, then you know you got to wonder what exactly is going on, because that's what happens. When they want to make us rich, so we make them even richer. Then they give us a lot of freedom, and then when they want to claw back some of those freedoms to control us, we have to resist, or we go through a period where we lose them. And that's currently the plan with global government. So today on the show, I'm going to break down a couple more articles here. Saw one on Yahoo News the other day, the ultra-rich getting richer. Apparently since the 70s, they've doubled their take-home from about 7.5% of all the income taken in Canada. That's the top 1% taking in 7.5% of all the income in Canada, to now taking in 13.5%. And so they are, the rich are getting richer. They basically doubled their take-home pay in the last 30 years, while the rest of us, mainly the middle class and, of course, the poor, have, in fact, lost a substantial amount of our earning power and our living standards, in the same time period. So even the article itself, the researchers in this article say, look, we got to figure out why this is happening. And what we can do about it. Is it a good or bad thing? Is it nefarious? Is it the result of straight dealings? We got to figure some of that out. So saw that. Also saw the Canadian economy with slower growth than expected in the third quarter. I think just 1% growth in our economy. And so, again, that's a sign of how they kind of string us along. When something is, worse than projected, it means they gave us crappy, fake, super optimistic projections, which we have to question here, especially based on their track record and the way things have gone, especially since the summer of 2008, when the big recession first hit us. So, going to break down a bit of the metro here. Will deal be a game changer? Fans want to know. Well, if it's on the third page of the metro here, right after the cover with Mr. Ford. The inside ad of a cute girl kissing another cute girl, looking at me saying, isn't this hot? Thanks. We have Rogers in the neutral zone. Cable Giant won't confirm Tox Control, MLSE. Sale would include sports teams, Leafs TV, Raptors TV, but not real estate holdings, reports say. So apparently there's some leaked news, and I found it very odd that yesterday, being Mayor Ford's first day on the job, the cover of the Toronto Star was plastered with this story, which is still a rumor. It hasn't been confirmed by Rogers. But basically there must be some good inside sources kind of leaking this. The press picking up on it as a sexy sports story. Will Rogers buy the Maple Leafs, the Toronto Raptors, and own the Blue Jays, and then just have the Argos to scoop up at some later point as one of the massive sports conglomerates? Well, you know, again, if we want to know about this, if the media wants us to know about this, why is that the case? Well, essentially, in a nutshell, they don't want guys fighting back, so they sell us the heck out of sports, which I enjoy. I enjoy sports. I still follow basketball. But you realize how repetitive it is. I remember being in my roommate's place back in the annex there, just above the Kinko's in the annex there, apartment, my first place I moved out to with a buddy of mine. And we used to watch the basketball highlights on the old cable TV several times. Like, literally, we were both big NBA fans, and we'd flip to, you know, the TSN highlights, and then the Rogers highlights, and then the local news or city TV highlights of the game to see if we could see any different highlights. And it was amazing how addictive and stable and repetitive, you know, that environment and that information stream is. You know, sports itself. Look at an NBA game. Look at a hockey game. Look at, you know, any sports game. They're all basically the same, and yet they channel so much of our aggression and so much of our enthusiasm. And so you'll see this heavily promoted by our media, even though it's just a rumor. It's not even like they have bought them. But this also helps engage public opinion. So, you know, you'll get a company like Rogers and the marketing departments there saying, you know what, we should find out what people think about this, get them used to the idea so, you know, there isn't a huge negative backlash. So, you know, they'll just say, yeah, we're thinking about doing it. And then later on, you know, if they do it, you know, we'll sort of have gotten used to the idea of them doing it after seeing the story heavily promoted by our mainstream media. And it's also why guys gotta fight back when it comes to this. I think all Canadian males aged 25 to 45 who are old enough to know better and yet young enough to do better, you know, strong enough, fast enough, sharp enough, and have a vested stake in this place. You know, if you're 75, you can be like, whatever, man, I think the world's going to hell, and screw all y'all, I'm going fishing. But if you got to hang around there for the next 20 years or so, then, you know, you may want to get a little bit more active in making sure it's a place you want to be in the next 20 years and for the next 20 years as we head there. So saw a bunch of chemtrails on Thursday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I left the studio. Went to get a, you know, I went to start on my day after uploading the show, and I noticed just right here at Ryerson University, facing west, just, you know, closer to Yonge Street, I noticed in the sky a giant chemical tartan pattern, like a giant chemical kilt, you know, in the sky of white lines. And I was like, wow, what the hell are those? So, you know, I basically pulled up my camera. Shot a video, and then shot more videos over the next sort of 3 hours between Yonge and Dundas and Queen and Bathurst. Got seven of them up at youtube.com/blackkrishnaverse. youtube.com/blackkrishnaverse. You can see Toronto Chemtrail, Monday Morning Blues, in brackets, a.k.a. the Rainmaker. Because what was happening was on a really, you know, pretty bright, sunny day with deep blue, beautiful skies above downtown Toronto. There was appearing these wispy white clouds. Look kind of pretty. Look kind of like cotton candy. And then occasionally you'd see mixed in with the clouds the odd solid white trail. And through the videos, you know, that I shot, and you know, other evidence of this sort of thing happening over the last 10, 12 years, you'll see that those white lines were turning into those clouds, which turned into much larger, darker, grayer clouds by about 1 p.m., from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., I was filming these videos. And so, you know, just gives you an example in real time of what they do that we can all see. Now, you know, the other things, you know, Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com we heard earlier on the show, breaking down control models from Plato's Republic and how they want to license artists because artists had so much power to control the masses, the flexi-sexual sales pitch to women today. He's heard them say that they want to use aerosolized Prozac to kind of pacify us from the air, especially in the event of a major emergency where we might rebel. And others have speculated the aluminum particles that they're admitted to have thought of spraying in geoengineering experiments. There's some evidence they are spraying officially. Websites talking about it. And there was a conference, a UN conference, with over 200 countries recently. Reuters reported on this. You can find this in my blog, blackchristian.blogspot.com. You can see the article. UN urged to stop geoengineering projects. And as a plane, as the picture in the article, spraying. And they basically say, these environmental groups, including one here in Canada called ETC, is encouraging the UN to help get Western governments in particular to stop spraying the skies for geoengineering climate change projects. So you can see this. This is at Reuters, or just Google UN urge to stop geoengineering projects, and you'll see the conference that was held recently on this. But the bottom line is that that this is the type of thing that we can stop fairly easily. We've got to wonder what happens to us when we hear easy ideas, or when we see things have been done. We've heard about burning DVDs and passing them on. We've heard about sharing websites. We've heard about making and dropping off flyers. When we've heard essentially a bit about what's really happening and have some theories ourselves. And then don't react by doing anything or even considering doing something easy. And that's part of our programming. And part of that is managed conversationally. When we speak with each other, you'll often see interviewers say, let's move on to something lighter. When it gets to something heavy in a conversation they're having. And we often do that ourselves in conversations, which is fine, except then you get things like, then we get confused. Yahoo News, for example, has a story where they say if your index finger is longer than your middle finger, then you're at lower risk for getting prostate cancer. There's some correlation, evidence there. And so they want us to think about that as a mildly amusing anecdote instead of worrying about the toxins from things like chemtrails in the sky, which last much longer than contrails, and which, dissipate. And form wispy clouds, which then form larger clouds, which then drop rain on us, which is full of, who knows what, but we should find out. And so these are the types of things that we can do. You can point your iPhone or camera, at the sky, take some pictures of these, post them online, and show that we want to know. There's efforts out there by many other groups, many other people, websites, films we made, Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store, conspiracyculture.com. Had the What in the World Are They Spraying screening at the Bloor Cinema recently. Probably about 500 people attended. I couldn't attend. I was at a wedding. But the point is that there is interest in this topic. And we know, but instead of just sort of saying, isn't this bad, doing something good about it can make you feel a little bit better than just sort of saying, isn't this bad. Commenting on message boards, on the GlobeMail.com message board, and the Star.com message boards, on articles. All of this helps feed interest in these. And I know somebody posted on my YouTube channel, I'd never heard of, or my blog actually, I'd never heard of chemtrails until like an hour ago, when I saw this, but I have noticed that stuff. And, you can reach people that way. And I got to tell you, if just 1% of people in this city of 5.5 million, and that's 55,000, it's just 55,000 people out of 5.5 million, just 1% of people got active on these issues, then we could do an incredible job here. We could have an army in reserve to deal with future G20 style martial law declarations in the event of a weak economy and people protesting and being managed into the process of participating in population control exercises as happened last summer. We can provide better options. We can provide an explanation of what's going on in the broader sense to get people hip to how they can make better choices. If we inform more people, then more people will be open to the idea of supporting smaller policy changes. We can launder these things through smaller groups so people don't have to co-sign for a big picture, but we can get the fluoride out of our water supply. We can appeal to Mayor Ford and say, look, Mr. Ford, for years you've been talking about wasted money. What about wasted money on the fluoride in our water supply? It costs us $400 plus million a year. And it's not good for wrist. Montreal and Vancouver don't use it. No health benefits. No proven better teeth in any cities from fluoridation, and no fluoridation admitted to cause fluorosis by the CDC and ADA, American Dental Association, who now say infants should not be fed fluoride at all because of fluorosis, at least, which is a discoloration of the teeth. But, of course, there's much more to the fluoride story. Go to fluoridealert.org. What about the flu shot? We're spending way too much on the flu shot. You want to get it, pay for it, buy it. But why are we subsidizing when so many of us don't take it? And there's so many water filters out there in Toronto. You know, enough of us know about fluoride to buy water filters, so enough of us obviously know to spread the word and then to get it out politically. We have a new city council here with Rob Ford. Freezing property taxes is job one, it says on the page of the Metro, page four. First day surprise, promise from mayor. Opposition councillors quick to credit Miller for budget surpluses. So he says he'll freeze Torontonians' property taxes in 2011. That's fantastic. Small businesses are getting hammered by property taxes. This is great news for them. Report on suspended G20 5-meter law due next week. Many thought the law announced just before the June G20 summit gave police power to arrest people who came within 5 meters of the security fence at the summit. They didn't show identification. The law actually stated officers could only search people trying to enter the secure perimeter, but neither police nor politicians set the record straight until after the summit was over. And you see how we're just supposed to go along with all this. All of us. The police, the public, civil servants inside, we're just supposed to go, oh, okay. and that is a mistake. So yeah, there's many things we can do out there. I think that that fundamentally our relationships with each other are key. Yeah, I notice that people, you know, when it comes to children out there, you know, we're not taking as much joy in having kids and being around kids as we used to. Think about 1,000 years ago. You got home from working a hard day in the field. You're all tired. You're all beat. You're hanging out with your wife. You're hanging out with some friends at your place. And you're just beat from just working the fields and working your farm. And so you say to the kids, hey, do something funny. Say something funny. Sing something funny. You know, what do I have you for? Pay some damn rent around here. And so kids were entertaining. I went with my cousin's two daughters from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday for 2 hours, not having children of my own. And so my little nieces there just entertained me with all sorts of silly stuff and stories, and I was asking them questions and reading and trying to correct them and tell them, look, you can't read that fast, you know, and to the floor, because then I won't pay attention. Watch, I'll do it. And you can really sort of be yourself and sort of feel free with kids and help them feel free, and they can amuse you. And so things like that, just reminding yourself of things you're not often reminded of when it comes to maintaining, preserving, and improving your relationships can help out. But I'm out of here shortly, folks. Monsignor William Watsoni, a.k.a. the great Bill Watson, is about to give you your four-hour jazz bungee experience. So do stick around for that here on CKLN Radio. As your host, BK, you can reach me at blackkrishna@gmail.com. You want to talk to VJ, VIJAY.SARMA@gmail.com. WhatYouWantToBelieveIn.com is my site. I'll announce the 1% Project and Ford Watch and, of course, the Toronto 2012 Project, sort of ways to launder this stuff. All sorts of ideas, you know, free Jasonry, the Communist Canada nod, throw in your gang signs, how do we know each other, how do we communicate, who do we know to talk to about these issues? Can we go underground like Fight Club, you know, where all the guys were like, we're getting soft, we got to go underground, we got to fight with each other. Well, we're getting soft from not talking about this in productive, inspiring, empowering, challenging, dialectical approach to truth ways. Maybe we could have underground talking clubs. You know, save the paragraph Fridays. We got to find ways to deal with these problems logically with other good people on behalf of others. Those who can should. It's that simple. If you're born bigger and stronger, you don't brag about being able to reach higher things on the shelf. You just reach them. And that's the plan here in TDOT, as far as I see it, along with everyone else getting a bit more hit to these issues so we can make better choices in general. Good places to do that include Infowars.com. Check out the latest on the TSA as well, and the revolt and the rebellion against being body scanned and groped there. VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forums. Don't be all buying organic food and saying you're all healthy and then saying, well, the kids go to school, so we let them stick them with poison. You know, yeah, we don't trust vaccines either, but they got to go to school. Go to VRAN.org, VRAN.org, to get legal vaccine exemption forums and to make sure that you have an out when it comes to that type of compromise you're forced to make. Go to naturalnews.com for the best health info out there. Vigilantcitizen.com for info on celebrity culture. Locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, group of about 500 members now and growing. hip to these issues. PressForTruth.ca, great journalism company here in Toronto. ConspiracyCulture.com, a book and DVD store. And also, finally, the venerable Victor Fletcher's Toronto Street News homeless paper. Getting cold out there, folks. It is the winter. Hook a homeless guy up. Get yourself some good karma and feel better for doing so. But yeah, it's been a slice. Hope you have yourselves a fantastic Thursday and a fantastic weekend. I'll see you back again Monday and Thursday and next week. Peace out, everybody.